Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you this morning as we gather together on this Sunday to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just have a few, couple of announcements to share with you this morning. Again, you found inside of your bulletin the survey that we've been announcing for the last several weeks. We'll leave that survey period open for a couple of more weeks. Please, again, make sure that you take the time to fill that out. Again, we just want to make sure that we have some sense of what a good portion of the people who are here are want to convey to the leadership of the church. And so please make sure, again, that you take the time to fill that out. It's not too difficult, too onerous to fill it out, but we would highly appreciate it, very much appreciate it, if you took a moment and fill that out for us. Also, just to remind everyone that the combined session and deacon meeting is going to be on November the 21st. That's next Sunday. But also on that Sunday, we are going to have a pre-Thanksgiving dinner for the membership of the church. Usually when we have our Thanksgiving dinners, they are occasions for us to invite the whole community. But because of the circumstances this year, we just want to have an opportunity to come together with the folks here at Olney Presbyterian Church and to enjoy spending some time together and enjoying fellowship together. And so next Sunday, November the 21st, we will have a pre-Thanksgiving dinner. No one has to bring anything. If you want to bring some desserts, you are welcome to bring those. But everything is going to be provided. We give thanks to Franklin Daniels, who will be, and Howard Gertler, who will be orchestrating that, and everything will be provided. But again, if you want to bring a dessert or of some kind, that will be welcome. But that is going to be on November the 21st, which is next Sunday. So please mark that down on your calendars and plan to be in attendance. There are, of course, other things that are happening at Olney Presbyterian Church. We will be going into the entering the start of the new year, and with that, of course, comes our congregational meeting and other things. But you can go to our webpage and make sure that you thoroughly read your bulletin so that you can be apprised of everything that is happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church.
Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. It can be found on page 1050 of your pew Bibles or in your insert. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way which he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of our faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Mark, chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. And can be found in your pew Bibles on page 881 or in your insert. And as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign when these things are all to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "Take heed that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. But this is the beginning of the birth pangs." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
If you've ever been, can everyone hear me? If you've ever been a tourist somewhere, you know how easy it is to be overwhelmed sometimes by some of the things that you see. I remember the first time and the only time I had an opportunity to see St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, how overwhelmed I was with that structure. It's a beautiful, beautiful structure, a grand structure, and just being outside of it and just seeing how grand it was, and being in the sanctuary there and knowing its history, and just being there was all inspiring. So I can certainly understand how the disciples must have felt this morning looking at the temple. We're reminded that Jesus and his disciples are still in Jerusalem. They're still in the big city, and the disciples are impressed. They're impressed by what they see, but they are especially impressed by the temple. The temple, of course, we've had occasion to talk about before. It too was a magnificent structure. It was a glorious structure. It was something that took over 40 years to build, and it was still being built during Jesus's day. It was considered to be one of the wonders of the world. People came from all over to see it. Some of the stones were huge. It had some of the largest stones of any of the ancient buildings ever built. One of the stones, the foundational stones, was at least 40 feet and 11 feet high, 40 feet long, 11 feet high. It was a huge. So we can understand why the disciples were overwhelmed by it. It was also a beautiful building. It was built of marble and gold. Some of the outside panels were overlaid with gold that shimmered in the sunlight. And so as you were coming into Jerusalem, it looked like a golden mountain with the white marble and the sun reflecting off the golden panels. It was truly a beautiful building. And the disciples are impressed. "Rabbi, teacher, look at this beautiful building. Look at all of these buildings. Aren't they impressive?" And Jesus says, "Yeah, but not one stone is going to be left on another. It's all going to be thrown down." When we hear Jesus say these things, we have to wonder what has gotten into him. It doesn't sound like the comforting, caring loving Jesus that many of us are used to. This sounds like Jesus is having a bad day, but he's not. He's just being honest. He wants us to understand that the things that we often attach a great deal of importance to, the things that we often see, the things that we believe are permanent and stable, that those things will not last forever. It's all going to be thrown down, says Jesus. Don't delude yourself. All of these wonderful buildings, especially the temple, it's all going to be shaken. It's all going to be thrown down. It's all going to come to an end. I suspect that we Presbyterians get a little nervous every time Jesus starts talking like this, every time he starts waxing apocalyptically, and that's what this section in Mark's gospel is called. It's called A Little Apocalypse. We Presbyterians perhaps get a little nervous because by and large we like stability and permanence. We like things to be done decently and in order. But Jesus says that one day that's not the way it's going to be. One day things are going to be shaken. Things are going to be thrown down. One day things are going to come to an end. I suspect that makes not only Presbyterians nervous, but perhaps all of us a little nervous. We human beings are natural builders. We like to build things. We build lots of things. We build relationships. We build families. We build careers. We build reputations. We build neighborhoods and churches. We build nations. We human beings are natural born builders. And we often take pride in what we build. And we often imbue the things that we build with eternal significance. We tend to think they will be around forever, or at least for a long time. And that's what the disciples no doubt thought when they saw the temple, this big, huge building. Not just any building, but this building was the building of God. It was the very place where God dwelt. And so this building was the embodiment of their hopes. It was the embodiment of their aspirations. It was the embodiment of everything that made them proud to be a Jew, proud to be a part of God's people. And so in their minds, it was a building that was going to last forever. Rabbi, look at this building. The very building of God, the very house of God. And Jesus says, not one stone will be left upon another. It's all going to be thrown down. It's all going to come to an end. This Sunday is the last Sunday in the Christian year. Next Sunday will be Christ the King Sunday, and after that we'll begin the season of Advent in a whole new Christian year. But every year around this time, the lectionary wants us to consider the end. Wants us to consider that one day there's going to be an end. An end to the things that we treasure. An end to our very lives. One day it's all going to come to an end. When I was a teenager, I was very much into reading about the end, the end times. We used to live about three blocks away from the Assemblies of God headquarters, and I always liked to go to their bookstore and find books about the end, predicting the future, prophecy, as we called it back then. There's a number of authors I used to like to read, Hal Lindsey, Great Late Planet Earth, and I had read all of Hal Lindsey's books because I was interested in the end, interested in the future, peering into the future, trying to figure out when it was all going to end, how to interpret the end. But whenever Jesus starts talking the way he talks in our text this morning, he's not so much interested in predicting the future, but rather he is talking about the precariousness of the present. In other words, Jesus wants us to see how shaky, how temporary, how impermanent are the structures upon which we build our lives. See this structure? See all this big buildings, all these big buildings? It's all going to come to an end. None of it is as permanent. None of it is as stable as you might think. It's all going to be thrown down. If we didn't know that before, we ought to know it now. The last year and a half has, well, it's been pretty apocalyptic, has it not? Some of the things that we thought were permanent and strong and stable have proven not to be as strong and stable as we might have thought. A small pandemic has thrown a lot of things out of kilter. The economy, the biggest, strongest economy in the world, our economy, not just our economy, but the world economy, the whole economy we saw had become thrown down, the whole world economy grinded to a halt. Had someone said that a year before the pandemic, none of us would have believed it. Not the whole world economy, but the whole world economy grinded to a halt. False prophets. Jesus says, beware of the false prophets. We had all kinds of false prophets telling us about what to do and what not to do. Don't wear a mask. Don't get a booster. A lot of those false prophets speaking in the name of God, speaking in the name of the Lord himself. Don't do it. It seemed like good sense and common sense all came to an end. And even our political structures. We here in the United States live in the most stable country in the world. A lot of countries invest here in the United States because we are so stable politically. We don't have the kind of things that happen here in the United States that happens elsewhere. And so people look to our country as a beacon of stability and hope. But even in the last year, we have found that the things that we often take for granted are not as stable as they might be. We see that some of the things that we've often taken for granted can easily be thrown down. And that's what Jesus says this morning. One day it is all going to be thrown down. It's all going to come to an end. For many people, when Jesus starts talking this way, we not only get a little nervous, but it's kind of scary. It doesn't sound like good news. We never want to hear how precarious our lives are. We never want to be reminded of our end, even our personal ends. We don't want to be reminded that one day we might die, that we are creatures and we are going to die. It's not something we want to think about. We don't like to think about it when we're 20 or 30 and 40, and it doesn't get much easier when we become 60 and beyond. We don't want to contemplate our end. But Jesus says one day everything's going to come to an end, including our personal lives. But this message that Jesus is bringing his disciples is not all bad news. What Jesus is doing is he is giving us a gift. What someone called the gift of disillusionment. We often create our illusions, illusions of grandeur, illusions of strength, illusions of permanence. But often we are disabused of those illusions. We find that the things that we think are stable and strong sometimes are not as stable and strong as we wish them to be, and our illusions are busted. But Jesus is giving us a gift, the gift of disillusionment, reminding us that much of the lies that we tell ourselves that they are indeed just that, lies that we construct in order to try to obscure the fact that there is an end. Jesus wants us to know that there is an end, but that's not all bad news. Because there is also a beginning. And that's what Jesus says. When you see these things happening, when your world is thrown down, when your world is thrown asunder, understand that it is not only the end of something old, but it is also the beginning of something new. It is the beginning of birth pangs. And that's what apocalyptic literature is all about. The kind of literature that we read this morning from Marx is also about the birth of a whole new world. It's about the birth of God's coming kingdom, the kingdom of God. Apocalyptic literature wants us to be able to see. It's about uncovering and revealing. And one of the things that Jesus wants us to uncover and to reveal, one of the things that Jesus wants us to see is not only how precarious our existence is, but he also wants us to see the coming of God's new world. He wants us to see that. He wants us to see that one day God's new world will break into this old world of suffering, this old world of pain, this old world of death, this old world of injustice. God's new world will break into this world. Indeed, has already begun to break into this new world, to this world. And part of what Jesus wants us to do is he wants us to see that vision of God's coming kingdom and to begin to live into that kingdom right now in the present. To rid ourselves of our false illusions and to begin to live into the kingdom right now. Because one day, everything is going to come to and end. Someone asked the question in one of the groups, one of the meetings I was in this week. They said, if you knew that your life was going to come to an end in a month, what would you do? How would you live? If you knew you only had a few weeks to live, would you gather together with friends and family? Would you call up people that you hadn't seen a long time? Would you reconcile yourself to the people who had hurt you or you had hurt? How would you spend the last weeks of your life if you knew you didn't have long to live? Would you hold your loved ones close to you? Would you tell people that you love them, people that you might not have ever told that before because you think they'd get it anyway? How would you live? How would you spend your last days? What kind of priorities would you have if you knew that your end was near? Same with our church. How would we live if we knew that our church, we only had a few weeks as a congregation? How would we live? What would be our priorities? Would we gather together every Sunday just to be able to see one another? Would we invite people we haven't seen in a long time to come together? Would we call people up that we hadn't seen? Would we embrace people? Would we eat together every day? What would we do if we knew that we didn't have long as a congregation? What would be our priorities? If Jesus said, one day, 4 weeks from now, all of this is going to end. Hopefully we would begin to live the way that the book of Hebrews this morning told us to live. We would love one another. We would hold each other close. We would not forsake meeting with each other, coming together, fellowshipping with one another. Hopefully we would begin to be earnest in living into the vision of the kingdom of God right now as that time drew near. That's what apocalyptic literature is all about. That's what Jesus wants us to see. Jesus wants us to prepare for the end. But the good news for all of us is that the end is also the beginning. Because the end is a person. The end is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. The good news is that you and I have already met the end. We are here because we have met the end. We know the end. We know that the end is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have died to ourselves so that we can fully embrace the end. The Bible reminds us that God is going to get the kind of world that God wants. God is going to get the kind of world that God wants despite what we might feel and what we might want. God is going to get the kind of world that God wants. If God has to tear down everything that we think is important, if God's got to tear it down, that's what God's going to do, because God is going to get the world that he wants. A world of love and justice and peace and reconciliation. That world has already broken into our world. So Jesus says, get ready. Be ready. Don't be alarmed. But be ready to embrace the end. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come here this morning giving you thanks. Lord, we ask that you empower us to change the things that we can change, to accept the things that we cannot change, but to open our hearts so that we can receive your coming kingdom. Help us to embrace our end, because it is the way of eternal life and life in abundance. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.